This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Depth perception is a hell of a thing.
Well, I do have new glasses.
Oh.
I have this hair from my... I just washed my hair and...
Got a little emo thing going on.
Yeah, I know. I haven't put any of my my Brill cream in it yet to keep it back out of my eyes. My son's got...
Back in the 1920s...
Hey, I like that
stuff. Just a dollop of Brill cream. Slick you up for the whole day.
If you look at my cupboard, I have my hair stuff is Brill cream. And then my... Not aftershave, shaving cream that I use just to do this neckline and my top of my cheeks is like some stuff from Italy that came out and it's got like the old aluminum tube it comes in.
Do you use a straight razor with a leather strap?
Close.
Oh.
I'm close.
That is close. That is a close shave.
I'm actually looking at doing one of them safety razors, the one bladies, because all I do is this line here on my cheeks and then right on the top of my neck. Mm-hmm. And the five blades, it's too much. Especially for right here, like it comes down too far sometimes. I can't. So I figured if I go to the one blade, I'll get a nice closer line and it'll look cleaner. Anyways, welcome to.
So, in case you hadn't guessed, we're on a time constraint tonight.
Episode 158 of What Did You Watch This Week? I got to work in 3 hours.
Yeah. Mike's, well, you've got to be at work.
I got to be at work in less than 3 hours. Yeah.
So we're working under a time crunch here. So,
well, that's
because for the most important shenanigans.
Well, that's because I was off Thursday and Friday.
Yep.
Typically, record on my days off. Thursday, I went to Avengers. Friday, you went to Avengers. So that took up the days we could record.
Yeah, and it wasn't like either one of us was going to get out at 11:30 at night and then race to record a podcast.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
no.
Especially after that info dump that was Avengers.
Yes. So here we are. We are going to talk about Avengers at the end of the episode.
We'll put plenty of spoilers, warnings in there, and I'll put it in the description, too, so you know that it's coming.
Yeah. I don't want to be called out on the carpet like that that guy did Kevin Smith. Did you see that?
I did.
I mean, he got us pissed.
And he literally said, he's like, okay, it's a YouTube video. It's non-mandatory. I put spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. There will be spoilers in here.
Right.
I am going to be reviewing this movie.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, how dare you?
I thought you were better than this.
And then he like then started roasting his character.
Yeah.
You make crappy movies that nobody cares about, blah, blah.
You gotta go back to the movie you made 20 years ago.
Yeah. Hey, pal, it was longer than that.
It sure was. So
we talk about Game of Thrones Episode 2? No.
We have not.
Okay. So Game of Thrones Episode 2.
That was me finally waking up from that episode.
Hey, you know what's amazing?
That it took over an hour for them to basically just recap what people were doing the night before they're all going to die.
Not only that, but like it's HBO and it's still got 10.3 million viewers. Like,
oh, of course it did. It's Game of Thrones.
I know, but like that's a huge rating for HBO. Now imagine how many pirated that as well.
Right, right, right.
Like regular weekly shows on free TV can't get that kind of rating. Mm-mm. And a paid subscription, like we pay $14.99 a month for. Okay, this is like we talk about, you and I, Star Trek Discovery, Twilight Zone. We're not spending $8 a month on CBS All Access. I'm dropping $14.99 to get HBO to watch Game of Thrones, though.
And Westworld.
And Westworld when that comes back. But here's the thing that works out, actually, is by the time this 2 months of HBO goes for me, I would have been able to watch Game of Thrones and then that new Chernobyl flick miniseries.
Yeah.
And the Deadwood movie.
Oh, there you go.
So it actually all works out.
So you planned it out perfectly.
Yeah. And then it's got a few movies on there like Meg, the new Jurassic World my kid wants to watch.
Black Klansman, which I just watched the other day.
Oh, you finally watched it?
Finally watched
it. Oh, my God. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I'll talk about it.
Sincerely, it's a great flick.
It is. Yeah. It started off a little Spike Lee for me.
Oh, big time.
You know, when the guy's sitting up there preaching and you just keep getting like the weird artistic – zoom in shots of yeah. heads of the people in the audience. I'm like, this is really Spike Lee-ish. But yeah, it was, I found myself something that I don't normally get in movies, which was like nervous.
Yeah.
Like when he was sitting there with all those racists and, yeah. and they were dropping N-bombs left and right. And the one guy's like, you know, I'm going to figure out who you are. Like I found myself like getting a little bit tense and nervous. And I'm like, wow,
that's awesome.
That's a good movie if it brings out emotions in me like that.
So, back when he got nominated for an Oscar the first time, it was for Do the Right Thing. Mm-hmm. And he lost out to Driving Miss Daisy, which is a movie about a black man driving an old white woman.
Yeah.
And then this time he lost out to the Green Book.
Yeah.
Which is about a white guy driving a black guy. So I love the irony.
I'm sure it's not lost on him.
Oh, sure it's not. I just think it's hilarious. So Spike Lee can't put out a good movie against somebody driving somebody around because
he'll where there's a white and a black person.
Yes, yes, a mixed race driver and passenger. Anyhow,
Baby Driver 2 coming out. Just don't even do it, Spike. Just forget about it.
So Game of Thrones episode number 2.
Yes, the one that probably prompted more Google searches for Maisie Williams' real age.
Okay.
Than any other.
I did. So she kind of naked. I'm like, how old is she?
Yeah. Google's like, what the hell just happened?
And like someone sent me, like, I don't know if it was a real thing, but it would look like a graph chart of like people, you know, Google search for, you know, Maisie Williams age and there's nothing that like spikes 100 million or something like that
right at that one moment. Yeah. On Sunday night.
And then did you see what she tweeted?
Yeah.
She goes, you think it was odd for you guys? I was watching with like my dad, mom, my little sister, little brother, whatever.
It was a good scene, you know?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm glad
it was tasteful. It was just side boobs.
Yes, it was tasteful in the respect that they didn't show like a full-on sex
scene. Right. But I like how matter-of-fact she was leading up to it. You know, she's just like, have you been with other women? How many?
Yeah.
Come on. One, two. You know, I need to know these kind of things.
Yeah. But yeah, basically this whole episode was a setup to Jamie's in town.
Mm-hmm.
Danny wants to kill him because he killed her dad, but her dad was effing crazy.
And as Jamie said, and he made a good point, he's like, I won't apologize for it. We were at war.
Yeah. Yes.
What we did.
Yeah.
That's why I went after Ned Stark. That's why I went after your dad. You know, we were at war.
Right. That's what happens in war.
War were declared.
Yeah. But he does regret pushing...
Yeah.
Bran out the window.
And Bran's like, oh, the things we do for love. And I wanted the song to kick in, you know.
Right, yeah.
Things we do for love.
But basically, this whole episode was essentially a setup to the war.
It's the night before the big yes. battle.
And
where death is coming for all of them. And so we just got to see their final thoughts.
Now, how many episodes do you think this battle is going to run? Just this one? Because they still have to go down to King's Landing and fight Cersei.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we find out Cersei's army.
Six episodes.
Yeah, Cersei's army that she pledged isn't coming.
Right. Where's the fleet?
Right. This episode is going to be a little longer, mm-hmm. like 70 minutes maybe. The final two episodes are like 80 minutes apiece, roughly. So, I mean, this one maybe is an hour. The next one will be 70. But they're getting a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's a lot to cover.
Yeah. Well, think about last season when we had that one battle, with the dragons and... Jamie's army there.
Yeah.
You know, that was probably what half of the episode and it mm-hmm. was pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I could see them doing this over the entire episode.
Oh yeah.
The
Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah.
You know, that was an impressive battle and fight.
But they've still got everything else to tie up. I mean, and I joke kind of about the snoring thing, but you know, that was last week's excuse too. Well, it's the first episode back. They had to do a setup to everything. Now they've got to set up the big battle and show what everybody's feeling. Next, it'll be the big battle, and we'll blow our load. And,
yeah.
You know, then,
and then episode 4 period. Will be another slower episode. Then it'll rebuild until the finale.
Eat a little ham sandwich, you know.
Right.
Get your stamina back up to go for round 2 against Cersei.
I was surprised that Jon told Dany that he was actually a Targaryen in his lineage.
I love her response, too. She's just like, and how do you know this? And he goes, Bran told me, and Sam confirmed it. She goes, oh, so the two people who told you were your brother and your best friend.
Yeah.
Convenient.
Yeah. So do you think Dany's going to try to kill Jon in the battle?
No.
You think she's going to end up dying?
No. I think that all the pretty people will live, and she'll be like, why don't we just build a stronger House Targaryen?
I don't know. She's been so tunnel driven, single mindedly focused until she met John, though.
Well, I think she's going to lose her shit when she sees her dragon being controlled. She knows that they've taken control of the dragon, but I think she's going to lose her shit.
But maybe John will become a White Walker, then he'll control the dragon, but he'll then fight the other White Walkers because he's so strong at heart.
Maybe. Or maybe Danny will go down somehow, and then he'll control the dragons, and it'll be like, look, he's the leader we've all been waiting for.
Mm. Maybe. I don't know.
It was a build-up
episode. Yeah, it was an okay episode.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
Theon showed up the last minute. Mm-hmm. And they welcomed him with open arms. Yay. It was much rejoicing. Yay.
Well, Sansa did. Daenerys was like, huh?
Yeah. She's just like, who this?
Yeah. So. And then Daenerys tries to go make friends with Sansa. And she's all like, okay, well, what about the North? Because we fought for our freedom. We said we'd never bow down to another ruler. So what are you going to do about the North?
Yeah. Danny didn't really have a good answer for it.
She didn't because, you know, that's part of the Seven Kingdoms.
So. Yeah. It's not the Six Kingdoms plus the North.
Right.
It's the Seven Kingdoms.
So, Tin Star with Tim Roth on Amazon. I'm watching the second season. It's settling in now, finally, after like a very chaotic first three episodes. Kind of. Conclusion of last season, setup for this season. Now we've finally settled into, okay, so this is what's going to happen this season. These Mennonites are going to be a drug runner. This Mennonite priest who's a drug runner and his daughter's hiding out at, you know, he's obviously going to probably end up helping them because they're going to get in over their head type of thing. But it's interesting. I can't give it a hard sell. I'm probably going to finish it because it's Tim Roth, and I like Tim Roth, and I'm kind of invested now.
Yeah.
And I know there's a finite number of episodes left. There's only 10 this season if they even get another one, so.
Gotcha.
Let's see. I didn't watch any of the CW shows.
Oh. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
There goes those notes.
Sorry. I didn't get around to it because I kind of got sucked into Schooled.
Ah.
And I watched all 11 episodes that they've aired, apparently.
It's a great show.
I love the gym teacher.
Isn't he great?
He is amazing.
Coach Mellor he's kind of like the more comical version of Bradford from The Rookie.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
He is. I just like how, like, I don't know, I like the way he delivers his dialogue, his cadence and his dialogue delivery. I mean, even when he's delivering either humor or straightness or whatever it is, it's awesome.
The first time I ever saw that guy was on Mad TV, and I loved him back then.
Yeah.
And I think he's phenomenal. He's one of those underrated actors, you know, who's always in the B stuff, but you look at him and you're like, this guy's great.
I mean, I realize he's not the star of the show. It's the girl that was on the Goldbergs now, and I can't think of her name. Frankly, I don't care.
Even though AJ Michaela.
Sure. But for me, I don't care about her character. I don't care about the CB.
CJ.
CG. No, it's CB, I thought.
Is it CB?
Yeah.
Yeah, CB.
The cool teacher who's not really cool and looked nothing like in the first episode from the second. I thought it was a different actor.
Oh, I thought you meant like nothing like the guy when they introduced them at the end of the episode.
Oh, yes.
And they're like, here's the real CB. And you're like, no.
Well, I do like how they talk to the real actors at the end. Even when they just had the art teacher on, Colin Mockery.
Yes.
Oh, Greg Proops. Greg Proops, and he was on, and they actually bring the actual art teacher on, and he has that giant mustache. It wasn't like a prop.
It does.
It was legit. And he's like, yeah, it used to be longer. And I like that they show, like, the pictures, the height, this from the, like, I like that. I think it's kind of a neat little aspect of it. They talk to him at the end and everything, but man, the gym teacher, Coach Mellor, man, he is the best.
He really is.
Absolute best.
He's like, he's kind of the glue around which the whole school functions, you know, one way or another.
Yeah. And then when he finds out, like, this star baseball player who he thought was that he was his mentor, and it turns out he wasn't, and it crushed him. And then he thought, like, man, like, he was all sad and down on himself. And then, like, all the screw up kids, but you guys are the screw ups, you know, or whatever it was.
Yep.
How they all, like, no, like, you pushed us. You didn't take crap from us. Like, if we, I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for you, and et cetera, et cetera. So you know, it really actually gives you a better appreciation for teachers and what they do, at least back then.
Right.
I can't say much about teachers now.
Right.
My kids have teachers. Not real impressed with the junior high teachers, I'm not going to lie. The kindergarten through fifth grade teachers he had at Pittston School, yes. Now here.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
So I guess she always introduces it. It was September of 1990-something.
Yes. Yeah. It was it was February 13th, 1990, whatever.
Yeah.
1990-something, yeah.
And, I mean, you could kind of derive because, The Phantom Menace came out.
Exactly. So. Or, like, when Tamagotchis were all popular.
Mm-hmm.
That episode was fun. There's a lot of, like, little flashback things. Because, like, I mean, I was in high school through 97, so, like, I can appreciate a lot of that.
Yep.
And I was in junior high in the early 90s. So, again, I can appreciate a lot of that. So, yeah, it's a great show.
It is.
I'm glad I finally sat down and watched it. But that's why I didn't watch any of the CW stuff, because I was hooked.
Yeah.
And I was genuinely disappointed when I realized I was out of episodes.
Yes.
Because, like, on Hulu, like, it plays the final next episode. I even rewatched the Phantom Menace episode again, because it's amazing when he has the realization about baseball.
My God, this team sucks.
But
the best guy in the history of the game only hit the ball 4 out of every 10 times.
That's not good at all. Yeah. But after the episode ends, it'll play the next episode, and then all of a sudden, like, Community popped on. I'm like, why the hell's Community on? So I go back and look.
And then
you got
mad at yourself for being upset the Community was on.
Yes, right. And then I go back and look. I'm like, oh, I'm all done. Man, now I gotta wait for the next episode.
And there was no new episode this week.
Yes. So. Like a schmo, I had to wait for the next one.
Yep.
But I think it's great. I mean, it's, fun stuff.
Good. Glad you like it. Makes me want to go back and watch the Goldbergs, because same production company, same guys.
I kind of want to, but, like, the few episodes I've watched, that the brother there is so damn annoying.
Yeah.
It's almost a turnoff, and it's almost like, I don't want to deal with it.
It's just like on Young Sheldon, his brother.
Yeah.
You know, same kind of thing. Dumb jock. Annoying. Yeah.
I watched another complete show.
Oh.
Netflix original, but this one was, like, less than 2 hours. It's called Bonding.
I've got it queued up, and I really want to check it out.
Yeah, it's only 7 episodes, and they're 15 to 17 minutes each.
Yeah,
So it didn't take long at all.
Yeah.
Basically, it's about this girl and her gay best friend from high school, who's a fella.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a dominatrix, and she recruits him to be her assistant.
Yeah, cleanup guy / assistant / bodyguard.
Yeah, exactly. It's... For the fact that the main focus on it is a dominatrix, I don't think there's a single drop of nudity in the whole movie.
I believe that.
There's a lot of kink. There's a lot of weird fetish stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a single bit of nudity in the whole movie.
A lot of the stuff in dominatrix type stuff is not around sex per se.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times it's just about being, whether it's physically or verbally dominated.
Yeah.
And... it usually doesn't lead to sex, so I believe that.
It was very enjoyable.
Good.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable.
I'm looking forward to that one a lot.
I look forward to hearing what you have to say about it. But yeah, it was very, very enjoyable. And the other thing too, it's like less than 2 hours to watch the whole thing.
I queued up the first episode. I'm like, oh, there's only 7 episodes. That won't be bad. And the first episode's like 16 minutes. I'm like, oh Christ, I could sit down and watch this like a movie.
Yeah, basically that's what I did the other night. So... I was like, well, I'll check out this first episode and see what happens. And I'm done. All right. Time to go to bed.
Moving on.
Yeah.
And then it got quiet.
Well, because I'm like, what the fuck else did I watch?
Well, we had 3 episodes total of The Blacklist.
Yeah, none.
None.
I did not watch the last 2 episodes.
Okay. So you watched the first one, which was The Third Estate?
Trying to think what that
Trust fund kids getting kidnapped and
nope, didn't watch that one either. So I guess I got 3 episodes.
You got
to watch.
3 episodes to watch.
Yeah.
I will tell you this: by the end of the 3rd episode, you will know Red's true identity.
Really?
Yes. They're not doing the bait and switch thing. They literally tell you who he is. So, and it's not like they let you know and then you're like, but how are they? No, Liz knows by the end of the 3rd episode. So,
is that the season finale?
Nope.
Oh wow,
there's still like 2 episodes left. Mike's looking around like a dog.
I thought I heard, like, wings flapping in my house.
Yeah, it was a little vibration. I think it was from the heat duct.
I don't even know if we remember turning the heat back on. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
We shut it off earlier today.
Well, maybe there's a bat in here.
Well, you know, sometimes in the summertime, like, you have those
call giant... the game wardens.
I'll just take a broom and whack it and throw it outside. Oh my God. We had a lady in Otisfield call us this morning, and my trainee got it. And he goes, okay, so there's a bear that's been out in your yard. Okay. And it got into your beehive. I went, dude, ask her if it's yellow and has a red shirt on.
And
he goes,
did he?
Hold on. He goes, is it yellow? I hit him. I'm like, dude. And he just goes, looks at me like, now he's in full panic. I'm like, describe the bear. Can you describe the bear? She's like, it's a bear. And the other people in this match are dying laughing.
That they are.
And I can barely help him now.
Barely.
Yeah. I'm just like.
And then, like you're on your own.
Now. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there and finally I compose myself. And he's getting her name and this and everything. I go, did he have a honey pot stuck on his nose? Did he have, I go, dude. New people.
Yeah.
But it was that noise like when you have like a big bug that's on your screen window and it's flapping its wings. That's what I thought I heard. That noise.
You did immediately remind me of my dogs though from the past. You're just like, huh?
Yeah.
Intruder. Intruder on my house.
Squirrel. So, yeah, I'm behind on stuff like that.
Okay, so you're behind on the CW show, you're behind on the Blacklist.
I did watch Superstore, the Easter episode.
Oh, so, but you did not watch the Quinceañera
episode. And I watched the Quinceañera episode, okay. Which was hilarious.
Okay, first off, the Easter episode was astounding.
Yeah.
Having Jerry in the Easter Bunny costume so that he could sneak around with Sandra, but then they were also, like, fucking with Dina so bad.
But that seemed to be on the fly, like when Dina's like, Sandra, to see that guy in the Easter Bunny costume? He's right there in front of you. And she just goes, I don't see anything. And I'm like, yeah!
First time we've ever seen Sandra do something like
yes,
that.
Yes, it was awesome. I don't see
Jerry anything. Empowers her.
What do you mean you don't see anything? Yeah, I don't see anything
so
at all.
Oh, good. Oh, I love that one.
That was excellent.
The Quinceañera, there were a lot of good parts to it. The parts with Jonah made me want to cringe.
Oh, because first of all, he felt like he didn't want to be there to begin with.
Yeah.
Because I think he felt awkward and out of place. This is a family thing. I'm not a family thing. I'm just your boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, like, I shouldn't
and
be
as
here.
And he said, I'm kind of responsible for breaking up your marriage, which he's not. But
yeah,
he kinda
feels like he is. So he's like, and Amy's like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And he's just... He's trying so hard, and I felt so bad for him in that aspect because he was trying so hard
mm-hmm.
and failed at every moment.
Yep. And even when he tried to do the right thing by Emma, and she's like, I'm so high, and, you know, he took over the daddy-daughter dance,
oh my God.
Embarrassing her and him and everything, and then Amy comes up, and she's like, yeah, when my kid says she's on drugs, you let me know that. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
So he thought he was doing the right thing, and Amy's like, nope. You did the wrong thing.
Okay, now, Dina looked amazing. I mean, she had on this tight little mini skirt outfit thing, and her boobs were just way out there. And she actually, like, with the policewoman costume in Halloween, she looked, like, surprisingly hot.
I love that Garrett was able to draw her breasts from memory.
Yes, yeah, so she was impressed by it.
Yeah, she's like, that's great memory you've got there. I recognize my own boobs.
Yeah. It was good. Don't look at my friend like that.
And Mateo and Cheyenne heard from Glenn that when Amy does cry on the rare occasions, that it is just awful.
So,
and she's a mess, so they keep trying to make her cry, and they're terrible at it.
I like finally at the end, they just kick her.
Yeah. Well, because Mateo was like, you know, oh, she's growing up so fast. She's going to be driving and going off to college. And he's going, yeah. And then Cheyenne's like, then she's going to die. And he's like, what? Well, I mean, eventually, like, everyone's going to die.
They were bad at it.
Yes.
But yeah, I did. I felt really bad for Jonah.
Yeah, when he brought in the bags of ice and he was trying to carry him and he ended up dumping them all over the little dance floor walkway.
Yeah. It looks like we only have 3 episodes left this season.
It's not bad.
But they're going to air a double episode in May 9th.
Okay.
So, I watched The Orville.
Yeah.
Now, you did as well. We had discussed part one last week, or did
we? We had.
Okay, all right. I wasn't sure because I knew you were on the fence about watching it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, you can totally watch it.
Yep.
And so.
So this was definitely the to be continued part.
Yes, as my note put, Kelly's shitty, personally driven decision bit them all in the ass.
Yes. Yeah, yep. Completely. And she's the only one that remembers.
That's the other thing, too. She is the only one that remembers, and she regrets it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because now it's been 7 years. The Kalons have started their war successfully because they never had the Orville there to stop Isaac. And well, the Orville did have Isaac on it, but Ed wasn't the captain. Right. Kelly wasn't the first officer. So the team wasn't
the team. The doctor wasn't there.
Right.
And the doctors who, like, her family made that bond with Isaac, and that's what kind of changed things. That's what made him turn on his people. And,
yep. So in this case, he didn't turn on his people and yeah. helped sabotage the Orville. And
Earth is in ruins. The moon's shattered. Most of the galaxy except for...
I don't remember the name.
The one race there. Yeah, yeah. But everyone else is kind of running in and hiding. And yep. we open up with Ed and... I'm going to say Roger, but it's not Roger. Gordon, I think. Gordon,
yeah.
Getting a replicator out of a crashed ship because, well, they haven't been eating anything and they need a replicator, apparently. I'm like, why are they stealing a microwave? But, of course, as soon as they come out of there, the Kalons are chasing them down. They manage to get away, and they get hit by a tractor beam on a ship, which turns out to be Kelly.
Well, they really, like, they had to escape to an ice moon and try yes. to dodge them. And they finally got hidden so that they could activate the quantum drive, and they're like, oh, let's activate the replicator. And he's like, make me a Twinkie. And he goes, we almost just died for this. We've gone all across the galaxy. We almost gave up our lives for a Twinkie. What do you want, half? Yeah, I want half. Of course I want half.
But Kelly shows up
yep.
with the rest of the crew, and basically they're all like, hey, you know, none of us knew each other before for the most part, but the things that she knew, there's no way she could have known mm-hmm. without what she's saying is true. And there's a part where Kelly says, like, hey, I saw what I saw. I saw what our lives turned out. Like, wouldn't you have taken that chance to correct it and probably make your life better? And he goes, and at first I'm like, well, I guess she's got a point, you know, but, mm-hmm. you know, like, I can see the urge to want to do that.
Yeah.
And then he says, no, you took whatever class like I did. You know it could happen. You should have considered all aspects of things.
Exactly.
You were being selfish.
Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, no, he's 100% right.
That's right.
You get annoyed that they kind of wrapped it all up in a pretty bow by the end of the episode.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like this could have gone across three episodes. Like, I feel like we could have had the first episode that we had.
Yeah.
Then the second episode should have been, like, what the new universe is like. And then at the end of the second episode, Kelly appears and says, we've got to go back and fix this. And then the third episode would have been them trying to figure out how they could fix it. I really felt like this was a little too condensed.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying I'm disappointed with the show because no. I'm not. No. Not by a long shot.
Right.
But what is it? It's only going to be 14 episodes. And was that the last episode?
That was the finale.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I feel like if they had spread that last episode out over two, show us what the universe is like, show us the people leading their different lives, and then at the very end of the episode, Kelly shows up.
Yeah.
And says, I know how to fix all this.
And then we get the episode where they go to battle to fix it.
Yep.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. And
lose some people, but, you know, you're like, if we could change this and we didn't actually lose them, you know, it would have been...
Right. Like, if, like, say Gordon gets killed, or even Kelly gets killed.
Right.
But they go back and they manage to solve the problem anyways.
Yep.
That would have been interesting.
Would have been great.
A little bit different. I mean, I realized the Orville got blown up at the end, so they kind of all got killed.
Right.
And the doctor corrected it. And then I was like, oh, what's going to happen to the doctor now? And then she disappeared. I was like, oh, okay, timeline correction.
Yep.
But yeah, so I wasn't disappointed as a whole with the episode, but it was a little disappointing that they wrapped it up so quickly.
Right. I'm the same.
Again, though, great effects.
Yep.
Great, you know, space battles. Great. I mean, it's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually, I'm a little sad that the season's done already.
I am as well. Yep.
Anyhow, I don't think I watched any other shows I can think of, TV shows.
Well, I finally finished up the most recent season of Santa Clarita Diet. You want to do the bittersweet talking about that?
Why bother?
People are pissed, and rightfully so. I mean, this is a beautiful, brilliant show, and they just finished their third season, and Netflix canceled it.
Yeah.
And what the fuck is wrong with Netflix? What is it with them not letting seasons go past three?
I don't know. I'm a little... It's annoying as shit.
They left it on such a cliffhanger.
Yeah, they did.
You know, I realize that each season they've left it on a bit of a cliffhanger, but this was huge. You know, this was massive cliffhanger because we don't know what's up with Joel. We don't know what's up with Mr. Balllegs.
Yeah.
We don't know what Joel is right now. Is he a zombie? Is he something else? Is he being controlled?
Is he going to be her? Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
She bit him.
So, but also he had Mr. Balllegs in his head.
Yeah, right.
So is Mr. Balllegs what brought him back, or is the bite what brought him back? I mean, it's confusing. Oh, I'm so mad.
It pisses me off. It was canceled.
It's such a good show. It's
Netflix,
such a
man, brilliant. I don't know what why, but they keep wanting to do things that just drive people away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
And
at least we could give them some kind of an excuse with the Marvel stuff, because we said, you know, well, Disney's going to take their properties back. I'm sure that they offered Netflix,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
But that makes sense.
This is just unacceptable.
Yeah, this is just...
This is their own original programming.
Originally, Netflix pricing was for my tier was going to go up to $13.99.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an email yesterday, it's going to $12.99.
Oh.
So they dropped it a buck.
Well, yeah, that way they don't have to pay Timothy Olyphant and Drew Barrymore.
But no, I think it's interesting that they dropped it a buck considering, you know, Disney Plus comes out with the announcement it's going to be $6.99. But I wonder the price point on that. Is that going to be the first year? And then after that, like, they go, well, we have to increase it now because, yeah. Or people are, I don't know. It's like when I go to a wrestling show or convention and you have these wrestlers that they charge like $20 for an autograph and $20 for a photo. And they get five people in line. And it's like, you know, if they charge $10, they'd have 50 people in line.
Yep.
You know? Or at the very least, they would double the number of people in line. They might make the same money, but they'd make two times as many people happy.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I don't know.
Their time is more valuable than that, apparently.
I get, you know, everything's a cash grab. I get they're there to make money. They're trying to make a living, blah, blah, blah. But, whatever. Now, all right, so this season of Santa Clarita Diet, we had the deputy sheriff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was, I don't know, telling everybody about Sheila.
Yeah, basically turning it into the cult of Sheila.
But then she disappears midway through the season. She's like, all right, I'll go away. You guys aren't ready for this. And then that's it. And she's gone, and we don't see her the rest of the season.
Yeah. It was just,
isn't that weird?
Yes, it absolutely was weird. I thought so, too. I remember making a note of that and being like, where did she suddenly go? Like, we dropped an entire storyline just like that.
That was really weird. And then the other storyline that they dropped was, not dropped, but... Goran, whatever, Visnik, as a Poplavik.
Yes.
A Serbian guy. Who
David Popsicle.
Yeah.
It's not that, but I feel like it's close enough that he'd answer to that if you said it in a room and he was in there. She was great.
But I feel like, you know, with him, like his character, he was trying to basically make the Fountain of Youth out of him.
Yes.
So that was interesting.
Which would have been an interesting plot line as well, because if he has that ability, that would solve the problem where Joel was like, I want to grow old with you, but, you know.
I don't want to eat people.
Right.
Yeah.
And this way he could, she'd say, you know, well, now you can stay young forever. But his point was also, you know, death is part of life. And that's, so, yeah, it would have been a very interesting conundrum there.
And then we got Ethan Suplee and his two, the two people,
Ron.
Yeah, and what was the other one?
I want to say Margaret, but it was the old woman there.
Yeah, the one that she transferred. Yeah, they're going to go out and now battle other undead people on her behalf.
Yep. The new cult of...
Yeah.
I thought it was great, by the way, that we had Ron, who I love him as an actor, and then the first person that he bit was his partner from Better Off Ted.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I thought that was awesome.
I thought that was hilarious.
I'm like, it's him! And then he got killed by Abby, and I'm like, oh, that's okay.
But yeah, it was a good season.
Yep.
And it's sad that it was canceled.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Someone had posted yesterday on Twitter, like, F you, Netflix, I'm canceling. Cannot believe you canceled that show, blah, blah, blah. And I'm
people
just like,
reaction.
Like, what show are they talking about? And then, like, I scroll more. No!
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I'm mad, too. I'm not going to cancel my Netflix.
No, I'm not
going to
cancel my Netflix over this.
And most of those people aren't either.
Right.
It's just like they're the same people who said, I'm moving to Canada if Trump gets elected. Oh, and none of them did. We all thought about it.
Got any other TV shows?
Yeah.
What'd you got?
Did you watch Cloak and Dagger?
I finished. Okay, I didn't watch the most recent one, but remember last week I said I hadn't finished that episode?
Yep.
I had like 10 minutes left, apparently. I finished it. It's been a really great season so far.
This one does. This most recent episode does another great trick with music and intersplicing narrated scenes that you're not quite sure where they're from. And
nice.
It's really touching. It's really amazing.
Yeah, the last episode I saw was the, Rabbit Hold, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So, Tandy was able to get her and Connors out of his black darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mayhem's still in there, though, right?
Mayhem's still in there, yeah. And Connors ran off.
Mm-hmm.
And
as he should.
I mean, and then like
he's been in there for months and months and months, and now he's in the real world, and they want to get away.
And the police show up to get Tyrone, and his mother's trying to help him, but he's like, "Mom, you can't help me." So that's kind of where we left it.
Yeah,
it was a really good episode. Like watching the whole journey of Tandy in the darkness or cloudness, whatever you want to call it, of Tyrone's was just really fascinating.
The record store.
See, like going to the record store.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there were three records that were still shrink-wrapped.
Yeah.
And you're left to decide, you know, are these things that she never dealt with? Is that why they're shrink-wrapped? And she insisted on playing all of them. But, yeah, that was – oh, it was – they do so much good imagery in that show. It amazes me that it's on ABC
Freeform.
Family.
Yeah. It surprises me as well.
Yeah, this next episode you're really going to like as well.
Alignment chart?
Yep.
Nice. I'm sure they got to find Connors or something. I don't know. It's a good show. It's I really enjoy it, show. Yeah. I'm surprised. Well, because, like, I wasn't a big fan of Runaways or The Gifted.
Mm-hmm. Gifted got canceled by
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Or Legion.
Yep.
And so I was kind of like, oh, well, if it's outside the realm of...
I remember being completely off it because I was like, it's going to be on ABC Family.
Yeah.
And it's about two teenagers. There's going to be angst. There's going to be romance. Nope.
Yeah, no, there's no angst, really.
No, there's no CW aspect to this.
Yeah, which is really kind of refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Were the CW shows good this week?
Legends was phenomenal. Legends had a lot of John Constantine doing magic.
Nice.
Legends had, all I can think of is Katie Lotz. What's her name?
I know you're talking
about. The captain.
Sarah.
Yes, thank you. Sarah going to Eva's purgatory and trying to help her out. And it was really impressive what they did. It was very similar to the kind of stuff you see in Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, nice.
I really liked the episode.
All those shows should be wrapping up in the next couple of weeks, I bet, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. We're getting close. Flash was good, although it was called Snowpack. Caitlin's dad came back.
Okay.
And mom was there, so we got the whole Snow family.
Nice.
And Cisco was fridged. I don't know where he is, but he wasn't on the show this week. So, Arrow was whatever. And Supergirl was
I watched quite a few movies this week, actually.
I wanted to put one thing in here just to say this. Because this week I finished out the first season of God Friended Me. Now, when this show first came on, I kind of made a plug for it and then I just let it go because it was on CBS, you know. But I've watched the entire first season and I would have to put this show, for me personally, I'd put it on the same level as The Rookie for how eager I was to watch it each week.
Really?
This show was really well done. It started off like kind of interesting,
mm-hmm.
and the way that they expanded and broadened the whole thing, it was phenomenal. So it basically starts with this kid who's an atheist. His dad is a preacher. He's an atheist. He has his own podcast, one-man podcast, you know, one of those self-absorbed ones.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. How many do you have now? Seven?
I have two.
Oh, okay.
My wrestling one I do alone a lot because I do, all right? I'm not self-absorbed.
You're a little self-absorbed.
Come on. I'm not self-absorbed.
As he's scratching his chin to like think. No. But anyway, so he does a podcast about being an atheist. and his dad doesn't like that, blah, blah, blah. One day he gets a Facebook friend request from somebody calling themselves God.
Yeah.
God immediately suggests a friend to him, this guy, and he runs into the guy shortly thereafter. And turns out that the guy is having a really bad day, he's got some problems, and so Miles, the main character, helps him solve these problems and, you know, kind of gets his it's quantum leapish. He gets his life back on track by the end of the episode. Now, as each episode goes, God will suggest a friend, and or God will like a place, or God will suggest a business or something like that. And it starts building this web, so it's not like Quantum Leap where, you know, it's a single shot, you go in, you fix one, you leave. Like, by the end of it, he was returning to people that he had already helped before or coming across people, like, you know, running down the street trying to chase somebody, and he's like, damn it! And he goes to call a taxi, and the taxi whizzes right by him. And then it slams on the brakes and backs up because it's a guy that he helped three episodes ago, and he's like, hey, I thought that was you. Get in, I'll help you. So it really came about full circle. It had an amazing story underneath all of it. Like, it was more than just this God account. It was bringing people together. It was old friends, new friends. I loved this show. And I'm glad that it got renewed for a second season. So if anybody out there has been watching this or thought about it, I give it a big two thumbs up.
Like, really?
I really enjoyed the hell out of it. I love the interconnectedness of it all. Yeah. I love the underlying story and how they played it out. It was really good. That was my plug.
Okay.
And yes, I watched a few movies.
Are you still watching Abby's Place or whatever?
Yes.
How's that?
It's still enjoyable. You know, it's a sitcom. It's not schooled, you know, so it doesn't really have a lot of lessons. It's definitely a sitcom, but it's still enjoyable.
Kind of like how I feel about The Kids Are All Right.
I don't know. The Kids Are All Right seems to have a bit of stories to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. This one, I mean.
Oh, so it's like a true sitcom sitcom.
Yeah.
Like, just hijinks happens that episode and they move on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know, I mean, some of the characters do develop a little bit, you know, like this most recent episode, Neil Flynn was going to date one of the women from the bar because, you know, he kind of has a thing for her. It was never introduced in any other episode. It'll probably never be talked about after this episode, but, you know. Yeah. So it's a real sitcom. But hey, if you like those.
So.
A needle pulling thread.
Movies. I watched some movies.
As did I.
We watched one together last week after we recorded.
We did.
We watched Glass.
Yep.
We went down to the old red box and red boxed it up.
Yep.
And
that box was red.
It was. It was okay.
It was okay.
I was really disappointed with the ending.
I was too.
You know, so M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong strikes again.
Yeah.
Has a really great movie in Split. Comes back and you think, all right, well, we've got.
He had a phenomenal movie in Unbreakable.
Yeah, Unbreakable. That was phenomenal. I agree. We have Split, which was fantastic as well.
Yeah.
And now you have Glass. And I remember we talked about, like, why is this called Glass? It was because Unbreakable is about Bruce Willis. Split is about James McAvoy. Now Glass is about. So you got to name the third one after the other character.
Even though he really wasn't in that much.
No, he wasn't, yeah. But, yeah, so we watched the flick, and it was just okay.
It really was just okay. There were a number of things, like, the majority of the movie takes place in the hospital, the psych hospital that you see in the commercials.
Yeah.
But for being such a big place, we only ever see these three patients.
Yeah, it's like they're in their own lockdown wing with nobody else.
Yeah.
And basically, I'm just going to go ahead and jump to the end, I guess. We have the main one of the main characters in it is, where is it? Sarah Paulson. She plays Dr. Ellie Staple, and she's a psychiatrist who allegedly specializes in delusions of grandeur. Mm-hmm. So she's convinced that Glass isn't really fragile. He's not a mastermind. Bruce Willis's character isn't like a super strong guy who's got a weakness to water. And that James McAvoy's character, well, he does have split personalities, but he isn't a beast,
right?
You know,
because she had an excuse. She had a way to explain away everything that happened. Like, how do you explain him bending the steel bars? And she's like, those were built in like 1986. You know, I went in there with a crowbar and I was able to bend them.
Yeah.
Well, what about he took two shotgun blasts? And she's like, those were old and watered down.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could have had corrosion in them. So
they weren't. He didn't get the full actual blast. Those were like, yeah, exactly. And she did have an excuse for everything. But the reason being, the big reveal twist at the end, which this pisses me off, you go through the whole movie where the whole point of the movie is a big fight that's supposed to happen between the Beast and Bruce Willis's unbreakable character. Mm-hmm. But basically what it comes down to is that Dr. Ellie Staples, she's apparently a part of a secret society that have a clover tattooed on their wrist.
Yeah.
And their job is to track down and find these people who are special and either convince them that they're not or kill them. And so all
because
three of
them, trying to keep balance in the world.
Yeah. And so all three of them are killed by the end of the movie.
Yep.
They're all dead.
Yep.
Fucking
the,
bullshit.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. And especially this came out of nowhere. This whole secret group wasn't introduced in the beginning of the movie or the middle. They were introduced in the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
And just as a tacked-on thing. And like you said, it's M. Night Shyamalan striking again, trying to be more clever than the audience by showing a twist that none of us could have seen coming because it was never there to begin with.
Right.
You know, there was no indication. We weren't like, ooh, there's some mystery organization.
So, like, in The Sixth Sense,
mm-hmm.
the whole movie, we don't know that Bruce Willis is dead.
That's except my ex-girlfriend did.
That's a huge, allegedly, that's a huge twist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the kid's like, I see dead people.
But you could have guessed it all along. There were ways that you could have, because then they show you the flashbacks, like him sitting at the dinner table with her and her not responding to him and the ring.
Yeah, but there was others, like, where he couldn't open the door to the basement because he couldn't see the table that was blocking it.
Right. And that's what I'm saying is that, like, when you look back at it, you're like, oh, the clues were in front of me the whole time. This one, there weren't.
And then in his follow-up there, Unbreakable, you have, through the whole movie, you have, like, this character, you know, Mr. Glass, who's Samuel L. Jackson, trying to help Bruce Willis realize that he's special and he's a superhero and he's got these powers and he's gifted and this and that and everything.
You think he's like a Charles Xavier type.
Exactly, yeah. And then they have the big reveal at the end where he's like, all right, shake my hand. And that's when Bruce Willis finds out that Samuel Jackson's the evil person in all this.
Mm-hmm. He's been killing people to find a superhero.
Yes, he's been causing these horrific accidents to find the sole survivor, to find someone like this. And his big thing is that, you know, I knew I was the bad guy because the kids called me Mr. Glass.
Mm-hmm.
That was genius. That was awesome.
It was.
Yeah, that was a great twist. And then every other movie he did after that sucked.
Now,
sucked. It was disappointing.
In Glass, we got a twist that was similar to those ones towards the end of the movie, which is that we find out that that train that derailed, that Bruce Willis was on, that awakened him to realize he was powerful.
Yeah, Kevin Wendell Cromer, the Horde, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah. James McAvoy, his father was on that train and died.
And
that was the trauma that triggered his DID.
Exactly. That was the catalyst that brought everything forward. That would have been enough of a twist.
Absolutely. The train crash created the hero and his mortal villain.
Yes.
And that would have been beautiful.
Glass gets killed like he did by the Beast when he finds out that he caused this. And the Beast's job is to protect Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy hurt Kevin, so he kills him. And then, say, Bruce Willis and the Horde have a fight.
Yeah.
And they do have the big blowdown, knockdown fight and dragdown brawl. And then maybe the Horde wins. Maybe Bruce Willis's character wins. Maybe they both end up going their separate ways. Who knows? But it's way better than this Sarah Paulson's doctor, who is actually part of a secret society, and then they kill both of the other two at the end of the movie.
Yeah. And in the grossest ways.
Yeah.
Like, they drag Bruce Willis over to a puddle and hold his face in the water until he drowns.
Yeah. Like, the guy who did it was in full police garb.
Yeah.
So none of the other police officers stopped him. That was a long scene.
That was a long drowning.
And the other guy, then, he's the sniper on the attack team, and he gut shots James McAvoy's character. So then he slowly dies. Don't shoot him in the head and end him.
Right.
Let's gut shot him so he slowly dies.
So that he can die in the girl's arms.
Yeah, exactly. And then don't forget the third twist. The third twist to the movie, which was the doctor there, Ellie, she goes and has all the footage deleted from all the cameras because they installed so many cameras and this and that. So she has all the footage deleted because, you know, you got to do that. But what they don't know is, or what they didn't plan on, and she, of course, she gets this revealed listening to two kids over talk, you know, in a comic book shop, which is the mastermind always has a plan. And that's why Samuel L. Jackson's character went down there, because he copied all the footage and had it sent to his mother, to Bruce Willis's son, which is cool. They got the same actor that played his son in Unbreakable to be his son in this, you know, 19 years later.
Yep.
And James McAvoy, the girl that liked him, So and then they released all that footage for the world to see, and it went viral.
So that everyone could see that superheroes do exist, and this society's trying to stop them.
Yeah, it got really fucking dumb at the end. It could have been, it could have ended really well, and then it didn't.
Like, I feel like, and we talked about this that night, I feel like M. Night Shyamalan felt obligated to do this movie. Like, he did Unbreakable because he wanted to do a movie like that.
Yeah.
And then never planned on it being a, you know,
a trilogy or anything. Yeah.
And then Split was a great movie on its own.
Split did not have a twist ending.
It just had that one scene where Bruce Willis was sitting in the coffee shop
Isn't a twist at all. No. And that could have been like a little nod, like, oh, haha, that's funny.
Right.
Right.
You know, showing that they exist in the same world. It didn't need to be part of the, but then it was like he was obligated to do this, to tie it all back together, and went a little M. Night Shyamalan nuts on it.
See, now, here's the thing. I really, really enjoyed James McAvoy as the Horde in Split, and then even more in this. Because the man needs an Academy Award. I swear to God. Just for his ability to switch between all those different characters in the Horde.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Different accents, different mannerisms, different body postures. Mm-hmm. And you could tell which one he was playing based on his body language.
Absolutely. I mean, just the way he was standing, you knew it was Patricia when the arms were folded and the hand was up on the chin.
Yes.
You're like, oh, Patricia's here.
Or like when the kid would show up, the 9-year-old, he'd slump down the kid. You know, like it was just, he was brilliant.
He was. He really
and
was.
And so it really pisses me off.
Bruce Willis phoned in a lot of his, you know, performance in this.
Yeah.
Like he was mumbling a lot. He was slow moving.
I just got to turn my head and give the Bruce Willis look.
Yeah.
And I'm all set.
Yeah. Yeah, so overall, I didn't hate this movie, but I was very disappointed.
What other movies did you watch?
Like I said, Black Klansman, but we've talked about that already.
That was a great flick.
I talked to my mother about it afterwards because I was like, boy, you know, the N-word flying around and Kike. And I mean, like, they had so many. And she's like, when I was growing up, that was life.
Oh, that's
she's like, it was everywhere. Yeah. She says, I remember my parents telling me, if you're walking down the street and you see an N-word, you go to the other side of the street.
Yeah.
She's like, and that just didn't work for me. She's like, but I remember them specifically saying that.
See, my stepfather was tremendously racist.
Mm-hmm.
I say was. He probably still is.
Right.
But, like, when I was a kid, even growing up, like, that's the language he used all the time. So none of that was a surprise to me.
Yeah.
It is weird seeing it in a movie sometimes, but the context with which it is in. But Denzel Washington's son's awesome.
Yes. Right? Yes, he is.
Yeah. I thought he was great. I really enjoyed the flick a lot.
Like, watching that group sit there laughing their asses off at Birth of a Nation was creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know that nowadays, there's still a lot going back and forth. You know, Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter. You know, there's a lot going on still to this day.
Right.
But seeing that right there just, like, made my skin crawl. Like, that was back when I was a baby.
Right. Yeah. That was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It wasn't that long ago.
No.
What's your thoughts on the fact that Maine now doesn't celebrate Columbus Day? We celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah. I think that one was a long time coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that more states don't celebrate that.
Well, remember when we were growing up, that was in the history books. Columbus founded America.
Yeah.
He found America before everybody else. And then people were like, excuse me.
The Vikings were here.
Yeah.
And people already lived here.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what is it? Down in the South. Instead of celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day, they celebrate Robert E. Lee Day.
Which is creepy as hell.
Yeah, because So, I mean, and they still do. Like, they still celebrate Robert E. Lee Day. And they call it Stonewall Jackson Day or Confederate Memorial Day.
Damn.
Yeah, it's observed in right now Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida. It's a state holiday.
Wow.
Florida seems weird to me, right? Like, Alabama, Mississippi seems like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Florida, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, whatever.
The only other movie that I watched, aside from Endgame.
Sorry, that was a...
was, I did end up watching Unicorn Store.
Oh, you did?
Yep. I liked it.
I did, too.
It was a cute little movie.
It was different.
It made me hate my job.
Oh, yeah?
Hate being an adult.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I can understand that, actually.
It made me say, why am I an adult? Why do I have a job?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was cute. I like the messages, you know, be creative, be yourself.
I like that, like, I thought it was going to be, like, as I'm watching the movie, I thought it was going to be about, like, she had some mental health issues.
Right.
But she didn't really.
Nope.
Yeah. Nope. It was good. It was fun.
It was. I liked it.
I watched the family guy. We watched Christopher Robin. It was on Netflix.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Is it?
I like it. Yeah.
Was it sad?
No, actually. You know what? It's really not. It's basically like, it's kind of one of those, it's a similar story of Christopher Robin's grown up and forgotten what it was like to be a kid.
So it took.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
And he's got, except for way better. And
that doesn't take much. That's a low bar.
He's got a job that he focuses on and.
Come at me, Rufio.
That he doesn't really like. But yeah, it's really fun, and then you get to see all our characters from Winnie the Pooh kind of live action, but they make them look like the furry stuffed animal versions.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's weird though, except for Jim Cummings, who does the voice of Pooh in this, so you know it's the same voice of Winnie the Pooh, and Tigger's voice is essentially the same. All the other characters have like British accents.
Oh,
yeah, like even Piglet and Rabbit and Roo and Kanga and Owl.
Kanga and Roo should be Australian.
They all have slight British accents. Well, maybe theirs are Australian. I don't know. But yeah, so that's kind of interesting. Hmm. But yeah, I liked it a lot.
Good.
I found myself very surprised how much I enjoyed
it. We'll check that out at some point.
And again, it's one of those things. Oh, and Hayley Atwell's in it.
Oh, yeah.
She plays
his wife.
I know, but they call her. He introduced her as his Evelyn, my wife. Hello, Evelyn, my wife. So they refer to her like Eeyore's amazing in it. So they refer. I think Brad Garrett's Eeyore.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, and so they. Hello, Evelyn, my wife. You know.
Awesome.
So that was good. I watched a couple horror flicks.
Okay.
I watched Escape Room. I also Redboxed that one.
Oh yeah, how was that?
It was okay.
Okay.
It'd be one thing if you had, like, one, like, crazy guy who made this very elaborate escape room thing to torture people and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Saw?
Saw with a budget.
Okay. So Saw 2?
But it's like, oh, no, this is like a giant corporation that does this. So it was kind of like...
Saw meets the Belko experiment?
Similar. I mean, essentially, people were betting on the people that were in the room.
Mm. So a little cabin in the woods.
Kinda, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was okay.
It was just okay?
It was okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I went to the movies with Johnny, and we saw Curse of La Llorona. I wanted to go see Pet Sematary, but he had already seen it. So I was like, well, you want to see something you haven't seen instead? It was last Saturday. I just didn't want to. He was like, didn't want to go to bed because I had to stay up all night. So it's The Curse of La Llorona. Have you heard about that one?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize this when I went and saw it because I never really watched any of the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
I only just saw the poster. And it was just like, oh, that's playing at 10. Do you want to watch that instead? It was really good.
Really?
Yes. It takes place in like 1970s.
Okay.
And it's part of The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Family, if you will. Universe. Thank you. I can't think of that word. I really, really liked it. It's got your typical jump scares that they like to do nowadays in movies, but it's also got some really some great creepiness in it, too. Like, the camera's focused the whole time on, like, say, the little girl in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
You're just seeing her face, and she's washing her hair and her face and this and that and everything. And the camera doesn't cut away. It doesn't move. Nothing happens. But then all of a sudden, you see, like, you realize... Oh, she's been standing there the whole time. You just didn't see her somehow. Like, so it's not a jump scare, but it's just like, oh, like, so they had a lot of great creepy things like that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it didn't, and there was a slight bit of humor in it in a couple of spots. But I really like this a lot. And if you like horror movies, you should definitely go check it out or watch it on home video or watch it when it, I can't say, like, I went and saw Annabelle, and I was like, nah. It's a haunted doll. You know what I mean? And we got a trailer for the next Annabelle movie while we were there. And I'm just kind of like, nah. And I didn't care much for The Conjuring either. But this is great. I really, really enjoyed this.
Good.
It's actually based on an old Mexican folklore tale of a weeping woman who murders her kids because her husband, like, you know, leaves her. So she, you know, going to kill my kids because you can't have me. And then she regrets it.
It's not the kind of, like, eating a whole cake, you can regret afterwards. Killing your kids, that's not something you get to regret afterwards. That's like, you have to commit to that.
Yeah, well, that's what happened. But yeah, I liked it a lot. Okay. I really liked it a lot. I was surprised. Got any trailers you want to talk about?
Just one. I only saw one trailer this week, but I laughed out loud at part of it. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the trailer for Gemini Man?
Yes, I actually saw it at Endgame. Yeah.
I laughed out loud and said, oh, they finally found the only person that could act opposite Will Smith that he'd be happy with. Himself.
Will Smith, a younger version, quote unquote, of himself.
Because he's always going to be the star.
Yeah. So. I saw that. I thought there was an interesting concept, though.
Yeah. You know what I call it?
What?
The 1-2. Because remember, Jet Li's the one.
Yes, yes.
Different versions of himself.
Ba-dum-ching. Or what was the one with Bruce Willis and...
Looper.
Looper with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis. Kind of the same type of thing.
Yep.
They
didn't get two actors. Yeah. They just got Will Smith and Will Smith plus CGI.
What was the other one that... there was a couple. We got 20 minutes of fucking trailers before Endgame.
I didn't write down any of them.
I'm trying. I didn't either, but I'm trying.
I mean, Star Wars was in there.
We got Star Wars one. We got, yeah. Was it a little different?
Nope, same trailer.
So I guess now we're going to talk about Endgame.
Well, no. I still got a little bit of news.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you have a little bit of news?
I probably don't.
Okay. This is interesting. Comcast is considering selling their 30% shares of Hulu to Disney.
Oh, fuck.
And if they did, then Disney would pretty much own all of it. So I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not.
Well, I heard that Disney kind of announced they were going to have package deals now with Disney Plus, Hulu, and then ESPN.
Oh, okay.
ESPN Plus or something like that, which Paul was all excited about because he likes the sports and all.
Mm-hmm. And then they, Thursday morning, a live stream event, they announced the entire cast for the 25th James Bond movie.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yep. They said it was a beachside in Goldeneye, Jamaica, the island destination at which writer Ian Fleming wrote his first 007 novel. Daniel Craig is coming back as Bond.
I heard it's going to be his last.
I believe so. Also confirmed as returning to the cast are Ralph Fiennes as M, Naomi Harris as Moneypenny,
okay.
Ben Whishaw as Q,
okay.
Rory Kinnear as Bill Tanner, Jeffrey Wright as CIA agent Felix Leiter,
okay.
And French actress Léa Seydoux, who starred in Spectre as Dr. Madeleine Swann, Doctor of the Mysterious Mr. White character.
Oh, cool.
Now, that's interesting because she was like the main chick in like the damsel in distress, as it were, in Spectre.
Yes.
And now she's going to be back in this one. I don't know if she'll just like appear in the beginning and then be killed off or if she's going to have like an actual role in this. They said suiting up as Bond in the 2020 release seals Craig's legacy. The 51-year-old leading man is now the actor to have remained in the franchise the longest, outlasting Roger Moore, who held the mantle for 4,526 days over his 7 sequels.
Yeah, but how many Bond movies has, see, we did 7. He hasn't done that many.
No, but it's the amount of time he's been in the
world. Because the gap between the films, yep. Yeah. So am I reading this correctly? That Rami Malek is confirmed to be the film's primary antagonist.
Yes, he is. Yep.
I'm excited about that.
I'm so excited about that. Also joining the cast are Billy Magnussen from Game Night, Netflix's Maniac, Ana de Armas from Blade Runner 2049, David Denick, Top of the Lake, Dali Bensala, and Lashana Lynch. Are
they already filming this?
Details were scarce on exactly what Bond will be up to this next mission. The production just moved from Norway to Jamaica.
Well, because friggin' it's already got a release date.
Yep. Bond's peace is short-lived when his old friend Felix Leiter from the CIA turns up asking for help. The mission to rescue a kidnapped scientist turns out to be far more treacherous than expected, leading Bond into the trail of a mysterious villain armed with dangerous new technology. Principal photography begins April 28th.
It's got a release date of April 3rd in the United Kingdom.
Next year, 2020.
Yeah, but still, like that's less than a year now.
Yeah.
Which... that doesn't seem like a lot of time to push a movie out anymore.
Does not, does it?
Especially something like as big as this. Huh.
Yeah.
So, Endgame.
Yes. Everybody, talk about that now? Everybody, if you don't want spoilers, if you haven't seen Endgame yet, or if you just want to bask in your memories of it, you should turn off the podcast now. We'll talk to you next week. But seriously, spoilers incoming. We are going to go into Endgame. We are going to talk about everything Endgame. We are going to talk Endgame. Get out now. Now. All right, if you're still here, let's talk Endgame.
It was okay.
And that's our podcast, folks. Thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to
you. So, all right. Let me tell you about one of my experiences before the movie, not before we talk about the movie. Someone brought a fucking baby to the screening I was at.
Outstanding.
So the movie is just starting, and the baby is fucking crying. And someone says, take your baby out of the theater. Like, this is before, like, the Marvel thing is rolling.
Yep.
The baby's crying, right? And then the baby stops crying for them. And the baby starts crying. And then other people are like, take the baby out of the theater. And then someone mutters something. And this is, I don't know, we're like the big theater at Regal. Mm-hmm. So there's like 80 people in there.
Theater 6?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then someone goes, I have a fucking baby. And then the lady goes like, you talk shit about my baby, I'll knock your fucking teeth out. And he goes, that's just what I needed. Threaten in public. I'm getting the manager. And he fucking up and outs he goes. Now, I don't know if the manager came in. I don't know what happened, but the baby didn't cry anymore. So I don't know if she left. I don't know if they went a la MASH, the series finale, where they suffocate the baby.
I was going to say.
And Hawkeye thinks it's a chicken. I don't know. I just know the baby didn't cry anymore. But it was still just the print, just the fucking point of it.
Yeah. I get that this is the movie and you don't want to miss it. But find a fucking cinema.
It was 6 o'clock at night. We went to the 6 o'clock at night one.
Maybe you should not be out in public at 6 o'clock at night.
Like, just seriously. Remember, what movie did we go see a midnight screening of and someone brought their fucking baby to?
Was it one of the Matrix ones?
I think so.
It was something ridiculous like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, first off, the baby wouldn't have enjoyed the movie, even if they were like 3 or 4 years old.
Right.
And they were a baby.
Right.
And then it was a midnight showing, and we're like, what the fuck is wrong with you people?
We just thought it would be asleep. Well, you're in a loud theater, idiots.
Yeah.
So that was the start of it for me.
So that set the stage really poorly for you.
It really did. It was just kind of like, oh, that's fucking great, you know, fighting. And, yeah, so anyways, otherwise, and there's one other part in the movie. I'm just going to jump to it, okay? So when Iron Man dies,
yeah,
there was a guy in our row. Crying's not the word. Because, like, there were several times in this movie, especially near the end, where I got a little emotional. My eyes welled up. This guy was sobbing. Like, openly, just like, I can't even do it. Like, making so many fucking noises.
Are you going to tell me next that this guy was you?
No, it wasn't. Okay. The girl next to me goes, is that rude? And I go, I look down, I go, no, it's further down. But, like, the guy's open cry, like everyone was, you could tell everyone was emotionally upset about it happening in the movie theater. You could feel it in the theater, the big gasp. I mean, everything.
Oh, yeah.
But this guy was just crying so heavily.
Ugly crying?
Yes.
Yes.
That, like, it got awkward. And now the rest of us are just like, it wasn't that bad, guy. Like, it's a fucking movie.
You know he's an actor, right?
You know what I mean? Like.
He's okay.
It completely took the rest of us out of the emotional scene of it all because we're just like, seriously? Like, it wasn't that bad. Like it really it removed us all so heavily from the fact that, you know, the character that started it all was gone.
Yep.
You know, the movie that started it all, that started this whole fucking thing, you know, Iron Man is gone.
Yep.
And it took us out of that completely and more into... Seriously? Like, did you have any fun theater experiences like that?
No. Mine was just a straight up standard movie going experience.
All right.
So Endgame was a lot.
Oh, fuck yeah, it was. It was a huge.
Aside from the fact that it was a 3-hour movie, there was a lot that happened in this movie. I never once found myself looking at the clock thinking, oh my God, is this ever going to end?
No, that's the other thing, too. it was 3 hours, but it didn't feel like 3 hours.
Nope. I was worried, like everybody else, that, oh, God, I'm going to have to pee during this. Nope, I didn't.
I didn't.
I was perfectly comfortable. I squeezed every bit of it out there. I clothespinned the end of my dick. Nah, I didn't really. But, yeah, it's hard to jump into something like this because there was just so much.
I don't think we can do it justice.
No, I don't think we can.
I think we just need to talk about what we liked.
Yeah, we can't go beat by beat because, you know, we can give the broad overview, which is that, you know, Infinity War happened.
Yes.
Infinity War ended. They go after Thanos because they find out where he is because they detected the Infinity Stones were used again. They get there.
So that surprised me. Because, like, the start of the movie starts out with Tony and Nebula in space.
Yep.
And Nebula kind of seems to be taking care of him because he's dying. Because they're running out of life support and oxygen and food. And she seems to be able to handle it way better than him.
Yeah.
Maybe because she's
passed. She's a cyborg.
Yeah. And then Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers, shows up.
Which, Captain Marvel being there, this was one of the few times that if you didn't see the post-credit scene at the end of Captain Marvel,
yes,
you didn't realize why she was there.
Exactly.
And they never explain it whatsoever. Right. But the post-credit scene in Captain Marvel, you know, they've got that pager that Fury turned on, and it's been sending out a signal, and then all of a sudden it stops. And they're like, why did it stop? And then they turn around, and she's right there, and she's like, where's Fury? So you're like, oh, there she is. And, I mean, they just hit the ground from there.
They really did, because, like, I didn't expect the movie to go the path it went.
Right.
Like, I didn't expect, like, at the beginning of the movie, they're like, we're going to go find Thanos, and we're going to kill him and find out what happened.
And take the gems back and snap everybody back into existence.
Yeah, that's the plan. And in the first 20 minutes of the movie, they've gone. They find where Thanos is what planet he's on. They fly to the planet. They freaking fight him. Cut his arm off, and then when he says, like, oh, I destroyed the Infinity Stones. There's nothing we can do about it. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah,
and then,
I used the stones to destroy the stones. They serve their purpose. They're gone now.
And then Thor beheads him.
Yep. Which, right there, so I'm going to be that guy, and I'm going to have some problems with continuity, and this is going to be one of them. So I'm just going to start right here. The Infinity Stones have been around since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
We even, the ancient one later on talks about how they all have to exist at the same time in order to create timeline.
Yeah.
Time is what it is because they all exist at the same time. And so for him to say, oh, I destroyed all of them.
Yeah.
Now none of them exist anymore. So how is time existing as it's supposed to? You know, these are things as old as the universe. I get that they're the only thing that can destroy themselves, but it just didn't set right with me.
I had some other issues with something that, the end of the flick too, where I was just like,
yeah,
that's cool, but yeah.
So basically, yeah, Thor beheads him.
Yep.
Because, and they're like, what did you do? And he's like, I went for the head.
Yeah.
And then we get the screen that I never saw coming.
5 years later.
5 years later.
Yeah.
And the world has moved on and the people have moved on.
And they're trying to adjust and they're trying to deal with what's happened.
Yep.
And we get a great level of drama in this movie.
A lot of drama.
And at the same time, we get some pretty damn cool comedy in this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is a calling card of the Marvel flicks, is like, we have the comedy. You know, like, like, geez, that outfit didn't do anything for your backside there, you know, cat, blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about? That's America's ass. And then he fights himself later, looks up, that is America's ass. That's right. You know, like, just little things like that. I like it when Captain – I'm jumping around. Captain America's fighting Captain America, and like, the young Captain America goes, I can do this all day.
Yeah,
and
I
like,
know.
Like, the five-year-old, yeah, I know. Like, he's annoyed with himself. Like, God, I can't believe I said shit like that.
Yep.
What did you think of the scene where he goes into the elevator?
Oh, everybody, my God, that was brilliant.
And you're just like, are we getting another elevator fight scene?
Yeah.
And then he does the Hail Hydra, which – remember when the comic exploded when he said that in the comics?
Yeah.
And then they
get him the Russo
and he walks away.
Did that just to screw with the fanboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot I really, really liked about this movie.
So basically, they come up with a new plan because Scott is back from the quantum realm.
Yeah.
Only 5 months have passed for him, but 5 years have passed for everybody else.
5 hours.
5 hours. That's it. And I love the fact that Cassie's more grown up now.
Yes.
Because I want to see her don her own Ant-Man suit.
Yes, and that's what's cool about it. Well, here, okay, so
this is where it starts getting weird.
Okay, so in the timeline in the Marvel movies where we are now, like when the next Marvel movie comes out, Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
that takes place after Endgame.
Allegedly. They still haven't told us if it does or not. It must, though.
It has to.
But here's the thing. So 5 years have passed when
is it
everyone
years,
comes
2024
back.
2024 now in the Marvel
yes.
Universe?
Yes, or 2023, 24. No, because, yeah. I think it's 2024. Anyway, so the people who came back, are they coming back at the age that they were at then? So 5 years, so is it basically manifest where it, 5 years have gone by for everybody else, but for them, they're right where they left
but
off.
But here's the thing. Half the world disappeared, right. Not like a few people. So half right. the world comes back 5 years old, five yeah, where they were, where the rest of the world's 5 years older. Right. So, I mean,
just for Peter Parker going to school
see,
alone.
Because Peter Parker's going to school, and his friend sees him, and his friend clearly thought he was dead, it looks like. Or is happy to see him again, right. But did he disappear as well?
He did must he not have, because he hasn't
he's
aged
young
at all.
Too, yeah.
yeah. And they didn't rewind time; they just brought them back.
That was the other thing too. Yes, they didn't. That was the thing that surprised me because I thought for sure they were going to rewind time and reset and stop Thanos from what he did. Instead, they didn't do that.
This was my number two issue with this okay. movie, and this was the time travel aspect of
yeah.
it. I don't like the rules that they use for time travel.
Yeah, it wasn't. They make fun of all the time travel movies, saying it doesn't work that way.
Because everybody listed multiple time travel movies until you know Scott Lang came up with Die Hard, and they went, "Wait, that's not a time travel movie." I don't know where I came up with that one, but anyway,
yeah,
and I get what they're saying to an extent. So basically, the way that they're talking about it is that time is a line.
Yes.
And it keeps going. So when they go back in time
yeah.
to change, to grab one of the Infinity Stones from the past, they can't change anything because it's already happened. So they're saying that if I go back from 2019 to 2012 and change something there,
right.
it doesn't really change it. It just creates an alternate reality that splits off there where those are different because in my reality that I'm jumping back to, you know, 2012 happened exactly as it did. Well, that's very weak at best. Yeah. And then they changed so much shit.
Well, I think the main goal was they didn't want to fuck with the rest of the universe timeline and
mm-hmm.
and say none of that happened, none of that mattered. They didn't want to reboot everything. They didn't want to do like what Star Trek did where they changed the whole fucking
right.
Star Trek timeline.
Right. And I totally get it. And they were kind of in a hard place for this.
Yeah.
I still don't approve of it. Because let's look at some of the things that they changed. They knocked out Peter Quill before he ever got the Power Stone, which yeah. means that Korath the Pursuer actually could have gotten the Power Stone before him.
Right.
Taken it to Ronan. The Guardians of the Galaxy never met.
Right.
Never came together. So that's all white.
Well, no, actually, no, because remember, they had to put the stones back where they found them.
Yeah, but Peter Quill is still knocked out in that moment.
Maybe they woke him up.
That's a stretch.
But they're basically saying that they put the stones back where they got them, so that way everyone's still together.
Okay.
Except
Loki. Loki escaped in 2012
yeah. right.
using the Tesseract.
Yes.
Also, when Steve takes them back, when he takes all the stones back to put them back, he takes them back in their stone form. He needed to return the Tesseract, and he needed to return Loki's scepter.
Yeah.
He didn't have either of those. How is he returning those the way that they left in that exact moment?
Yep.
Also, how do you return the Soul Stone?
Yeah.
What, do you just throw it down the cliff, and then the person comes back?
No, because Black Widow, we didn't see Black Widow.
No.
Now, they're still doing a Black Widow movie.
Yes.
So this obviously has to take place before.
Or it'll be one of these alternate timelines that was created.
I really – see, that's where they fucked up in the comic books when they start doing all these alternate timelines and everything. And I really hope they don't do that in the movies.
The Ancient One shows the thing to Banner and basically says if you take one of the stones out, it yeah. creates an alternate timeline. But they can fuck around with anything else that they want and they don't create alternate timelines. But they do. Because these have to be alternate timelines where Loki escapes or where Quill gets knocked out. Or how was Cap supposed to put the Aether back into Jane? They yeah. literally sucked it out of her with a giant needle.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot in the time travel aspect of it.
All right. While we're still on that horse then.
Okay.
Let's go to the end. Cap doesn't come back.
Yeah.
But they see him sitting on the bench.
How?
When, now,
did he walk up while they were setting up all their equipment and right. go, don't mind me, folks, I'll just be sitting over here by the lake?
Well, here's the complaint about that. Okay, so the implication when they show is that he went back in time, and at some point along the way...
1945.
Are they going with 1945?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So 1945, he hooked up with Peggy Carter.
Yep.
And he lived the rest of his life with her. So she never then was a founding agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Never had all the kids and grandkids that she allegedly had.
So now the rumor there...
Is that he never said
who her husband was, so possibly it was him the whole time.
Right.
But
how did he stay hidden all that time?
Right.
How 1945 straight up through, he was a national celebrity.
How did he not get himself involved? How did he allow Hydra to take over S.H.I.E.L.D.? How did he allow all the bad stuff to happen? How did he allow his friend for 70 years to be controlled? I mean, like,
yeah.
How did he just decide, hey, I'm going to remove myself from all of this and not be involved?
Yeah. I'm not going to fix anything because I can't change it anyway. It's already happened. So I might as well just, you know, bone Peggy for a while.
Right. I'm just going to live my life quietly and in the shadows.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
I get where they were going with it. They wanted to give him his happy ending. They wanted to let him grow old. So I got what they were doing with it. Technicality-wise, it doesn't fly. It doesn't cut mustard at all. It's wrong.
And if we want to break it down, like... He's 100 and something,
mm-hmm.
like mid-100, like 140 or some shit. Like, I don't know what the actual number would be, but I mean, like...
Because of the time that he was frozen, but then when he came out and...
Years he lived there, and then going back to 1970 and reliving all those years, 1945, and reliving those 74 years, and then...
Yep.
So he's like 130.
And the super soldier serum is to credit for that, I'm sure.
Right.
But... Yeah, just, how was he sitting there on the lake?
I have an issue with that. Now, if he would have popped back as an old man,
I still would have been like, a problem, but...
Hey, guys, I did something.
Yeah.
That would have made a bit more sense.
But just sitting there, like...
Because he would have lived this whole other timeline
mm-hmm.
that we don't know about, and then he corrects it at the end by coming back when he's supposed to, and that realigned the whole timeline.
Right.
So he got to live that whole life, but it didn't affect anything. That I could believe or buy more.
Yep.
And he can still be the old man and still... I didn't like the fact he passed the shield off to Falcon. I know that's what they do in the comics.
How pissed is Rude?
Oh, very pissed.
Oh, my God. I've been wanting to ask you that since I watched that movie. And I was like, I just got to wait. But I can imagine that, like, I imagine when they were doing the fight and Steve wielded Mjolnir, I imagine
Rude had an erection. Okay, dude. When you see Mjolnir rise up, we think, oh, you know,
Thor's calling.
Thor summoning him. Beer got Thor.
Classic.
Is summoning him. And then you see that Cap's wielding it. The theater erupted in applause.
Uh-huh.
Like, did yours?
Yeah, everybody cheered.
Yeah, like clapping, oh, no. Cheering.
This is just like, woo!
Yeah, like, the theater erupted when they saw Cap. Like, that, and Rude, like, I looked over at Rude, and like, I don't think I've ever seen him so happy.
Did he have to change his underwear after?
Probably. He was elated, though.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anyone that loves Captain America as much as Rude does. He likes Captain America like I like wrestling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's just kind of crazy. But, yeah, he lost his mind. But, dude, that whole fucking fight scene where Captain America is yielding the shield and the hammer, and he's throwing them both, and they're both coming back to him. And
like, he throws the shield and reflects the hammer off it to hit him in the back.
I mean, it was awesome.
Uh-huh.
And then later on when, like, now that... Okay, so...
Now, hold on.
Getting wild. I'm getting worked up already.
Yeah. We got to go back to this time travel thing.
Sure.
Because it was messed up, you know? Because we see him, like, when he goes back, he takes Mjolnir with it. Because he'll have to put it back where he got it.
Right. Yep, that's true. Exact moment. Yes.
But then we still have things like young Nebula was killed by old Nebula. She's dead.
Yeah, she's dead. But we see her
Thanos
at the
was
end.
Killed. The Black Maw and all of Thanos' lieutenants were killed when they were dusted.
Yeah.
Who am I trying to say here was also killed.
We don't know about Gamora.
Oh, Gamora. Gamora came to this time period.
Yeah.
And doesn't recognize Quill, and then he's searching his databases for her and not finding anything. Did she grab a ship and take off? Did she go back to her timeline? Like, what happened to her? Did she get dusted? Like,
we see her fighting on the side of good at the big battle at the end. So, like, when Tony dusted them all, obviously she didn't get dusted, too, because she wasn't with him anymore.
Right. But it's still...
The Nebula one, to
me. How are we changing these things? How are we killing the old version of Nebula, the original? How are we killing Thanos before he ever assembles the stones and saying, oh, that doesn't affect anything because it's already happened? So this is the way that the timeline plays out.
Yeah.
It really bugs me, and I know nobody has an answer to time travel. However, I'm pretty sure that we've all agreed that this is kind of the rules. You know, most of us would agree. Yeah, like with vampires. They don't exist, allegedly, but we've all kind of agreed on the rules. And I feel like the rules here were kind of thrown out the window.
I can understand that, too.
So it really bothered me, like, seeing these people get killed, seeing Loki escape. Like, I know they're going to say, oh, well, it just sets up an alternate timeline where he escapes, you know, but the main timeline, he didn't escape it. So what happened to all that stuff in the main timeline?
Right.
Is that all changed, you know, where Tony gets clocked by the Hulk and, you know, the younger version of Tony has a heart attack because Ant-Man rips out one of the circuits in his thing. And it really bugged me.
There was a lot.
I still love this movie.
I love the movie. I really do love the movie. I like that we saw everyone that's ever been in a fucking Marvel movie in this movie.
To an almost egregious extent.
Either we saw them as an actual, like, person walking, or we saw a photo of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they included everyone. Even Natalie Portman, who doesn't have a line.
Yeah.
Or like, anyone from the Black Panther world, basically. Like, his sister's there, but she doesn't have any lines. Nope. But she's there.
Yep. And we got Rene Russo to have an extended scene with Thor.
Yeah.
Which was great.
But we got to see Michael Douglas back. We got to see Robert Redford back. We got to see, Michelle Pfeiffer was in there with no lines. But, like, they got everyone there. It's pretty cool.
Did you pick up on the kid there standing by himself?
Not at first at all. And I was like, who the hell was that kid? And
I was like, there's only one thing that I could think of. And then I looked it up and I'm like, yep, that was him.
And I had to look it up. And it was the kid from Iron Man 3.
Yep. The one who, like, was out. He let Tony stay in his shed and brought the food and stuff. And,
yeah.
Which makes it sadder.
Yeah.
But.
And then there was someone else I didn't recognize. Because you had the kid there. And then you have Captain Marvel on the stairs. And then there's some guy standing against the fence. I didn't recognize him.
I didn't see any guy standing against the fence. I don't remember it, at least.
I like, against the porch or whatever. Like, there was the kid, and then...
Was it Happy?
No, it wasn't. I don't recognize who it was. I didn't recognize who it was. We can see Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury. I think he doesn't have any... There's so many people that don't have any lines. They're just there, which is kind of amazing.
Haley Atwell.
Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
Well, Harry Owl has lines in the respect that you see her yelling at people behind glass and this and that. You see her, but, like, yeah, you're right. I'm glad they found a way to bring it. Even bring back Red Skull again. Like, it's really cool.
Except it still wasn't Hugo Weaving.
Right. But it's really cool how they brought everybody back.
So, speaking of Red Skull.
Yeah.
And doing this continuity thing. The Soul Stone is created, or the Soul Stone can be grabbed, by sacrificing something that you love.
Yeah.
So, if they created it, if Clint grabbed it in 2012, why does it have to be recreated later on by Thanos? Like, why is it the one stone that you have to sacrifice constantly? And where does it go afterwards? Right. Like, what did he do with it? Again, you know, Cap was supposed to bring all the stones back. What did he do with it? Did he just, like, walk over there and, like, chuck it over the edge? I mean, they don't explain that. It's the one stone that has the most oddly specific requirements.
Right. That's true.
I didn't like that.
So let's get to the parts that were great.
Okay.
Okay? So Captain America fighting is the man. Like,
yes.
All right. So we don't see Captain Marvel for most, like, we see her at the beginning. And then we don't see her for the whole movie. But they described it in a good way.
Oh?
Yes. Earth's not the only planet that is going haywire right now.
Yep.
They have you.
Yep.
I've got everything else.
However.
Yeah.
When they said, we've got a plan to go back in time, collect the Infinity Stones, you think they want to call the one person who could probably wield those Infinity Stones?
Well, maybe she just wasn't available. Maybe she was...
Bitch got fridged. Service. She got fridged, and yeah, I don't know.
So,
but we had Rocket. And we had Nebula, so you can't say that this was, well, they were just doing the original Avengers. Nope, because we had Rocket and Nebula.
So we have the battle. We have, you know, like Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor with his beer gut, which is hilarious. Like, even when he had, he had the hammer and the axe, if you will. And he's get the lightning, and he's ready. I'm going to be Thor again. He's got his Thor
beard, turns into a little braided thing.
And he's got the Thor costume on. He's going to go fight, you know, Thanos, because they've all agreed he's going to die. And then they pan back, and he's still got the beer gut under the armor. I thought that was great.
His mother's like, the future has not been kind to you.
Yeah. No, it hasn't, Mom. So the three of them are battling Thanos, and that was a fun battle.
That was a fun battle.
You know what I mean? Thanos is very powerful. Yeah, that was awesome.
And Thanos also has going for him that he already knows he's won.
Yes.
He knows that he beat these guys once before, and now they're scrambling to stop him. So he's like, I won. I know I can best these guys again.
So I like when you think all is lost. You know, once again, we got to get to the darkest hour. Cap's shield's been broken, and he's like, tightens it up, and he's like, all right, let's do this, you know. And then you hear Sam's voice in his earpiece. Mm-hmm. Did you freak out?
I did.
I got little goosebumps all over. And then he's like, Cap, Steve, on your left. And then you see the shh. And then everyone starts returning, and then, like, you know.
And we got everybody. We got the armies of Wakanda. Yep. We got the Valkyries, you know, the Asgardians. We got everybody. And then they all go out there and they all strike their hero poses. And Doctor Strange steps in and goes, is that everybody? And Wu's like, how many more did you want to bring?
Yeah. Because we've already had the snap once. You know, Hulk. What do you think of this version of Hulk?
I love this version of Hulk. This is my favorite thing in this movie was Professor Hulk. And the fact that that was him throughout the whole movie.
Yes.
You know, Banner made his peace with the Hulk, said he's not a disease to get rid of.
Yep.
He's something that we can work together. And now they are. They are Professor Hulk. They are the one and only. And I loved when the Ancient One, you know, drove his soul out and it was Banner's soul.
Yes.
Professor Hulk's body. Oh.
Yeah, I thought that was great as well. So everyone gets revealed. Everyone, like, when all those portals start opening and all those people go, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Dude, that was awesome. Because Thanos' army, so he's like, oh, this is my army. They're all here now.
I'm going to destroy this planet.
Yes. Yeah. And then.
And I'm going to like it.
You can see a little panic in Thanos' face when everyone shows up. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And then when they're beating Thanos and he is going to be destroyed and he says, release Hellfire, our troops release Hellfire, and then they start raining down. All of a sudden, all the guns turn up.
Yeah. What are they firing at?
Yeah.
Something's entered the atmosphere. And she just annihilated the ship. Captain Marvel just did. And again, that's why it kind of, I get it, but it kind of ticks me off that they fridged her for the movie.
But then when she fought Thanos, she didn't just wreck him like I thought she would.
She started to. And she was actually, remember, they had like five people tugging on his fist to pull that gauntlet off.
Oh, that's true.
She was doing it by herself, and she almost got it. And then he pulled out the power stone and cold cocked her with that. I mean.
Which was cool.
Yeah. He had to focus the power of just that stone to knock her backwards. And it didn't even kill her. It just knocked her back. Oh, she was doing some damage.
What'd you think about Tony grabbing all this? Did you see? I didn't see that coming at all.
I didn't either.
I didn't see with Tony grabbing all the stones.
Yeah.
And then.
Because it's his tech.
Yes.
It was his gauntlet.
Yeah.
You know?
And then Thanos snaps his fingers and nothing happens. And he looks and they're all gone. They look at Tony and he's got it now in his Iron Man costume.
Yeah.
Is made an Infinity Gauntlet. And
there was so much fan service in this, like you were talking about. You know, we get Thanos saying, you know, I am inevitable, and he snaps his fingers, nothing happens. And then Tony says, I am Iron Man, which was the last line of the first movie.
Yes.
And the one where everybody erupted.
Yes. You
know, I'm Iron Man. Snap.
Yeah.
And that was just beautiful. So much fan service when it came to stuff like that. Bringing back all the actors and actresses, bringing back the sets, Asgard.
Yeah.
You know? Bringing back all the different places that we visited over the years.
That was a huge battle.
Letting people have their, you know, their missed opportunities. Letting Steve see Peggy. Letting Tony have that moment with his dad.
I mean, that was really cool. Yes.
I kept waiting for his dad to, like, figure it out and be like, I'm going to get you arrested or something like that. And no, he just literally had the best interaction with his dad he'd ever had in his life.
Yep.
It was brilliant.
you know, this movie, like, you look all this, everything you said, I'm like, what was the budget on this movie?
I can't even begin to imagine.
According to Wikipedia, it's $356 million. I would assume that doesn't include advertising, but I feel like this movie doesn't need advertising.
No.
It's got 22 other films that advertise for.
This afternoon, so not even this evening, but this afternoon,
they
had already announced that as of this weekend, opening weekend, it is the fifth highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah.
It has made $1.2 billion already.
Opening
national
weekend.
And
internationally.
And local.
Opening weekend, it made $1.2 billion. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Not even opening
it's
weekend.
It's broken literally every record.
Not even opening weekend, because, like you said, this was Sunday morning they announced that.
Yeah.
You still had Sunday to finish the weekend.
Yeah.
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 It's crazy.
Highest midweek box office opening, highest pre-sales tickets.
Like, I mean, it just Thursday did $60 million on Thursday alone.
There are movies out there like that, Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah.
If it does $60 million total, it'll be a miracle.
Right.
This one did it on a day.
On Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, worldwide, because it opened in China before it opened here.
Yes.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Because usually China doesn't get movies for months, it seems like.
I don't know. Some of the bigger ones, they'll get them right when we do, or they'll get them like a week later.
And I know, like, the UK, it opened up at normal time, but it was before us.
Right.
Several hours, because I have some Facebook friends in the UK who are like, you know, like, they were like, I've already seen it. It's amazing. Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. Can't talk.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Haven't seen a lot of spoilers out there.
I haven't either.
Like, people are really not spoiling the movie. Like, because I went to that Thursday 6 o'clock one. So, like, I was looking at my Twitter and Facebook. I've been looking at it, you know, since then.
Yep.
I don't think I've seen a single spoiler.
Other than
people going, spoiler, spoiler, spoiler,
right,
click the link. But, like, just in their Facebook feeds or their Twitter feeds, like, if anyone I follow or whatever, I haven't seen any.
Yep. I've seen plenty of articles that will say spoiler in them.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
But they'll talk about, like, the time travel aspect or, you know, what happened with different characters. Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens from here. Not that I'm trying to wrap this up, but, you know, like we were just talking about, the five-year gap. How is that going to work? Is this that 5 years have passed for you, but I've been gone for just a moment?
Right.
So,
well, because you see, like, when Peter Parker shows up and he talks to Tony and he goes, like, again, brilliant. Like, the I know certain people get credit for the script, but, like, so many people should.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had to write for all these different characters and how they are and how they act and their cadence and their style and everything else like that. And, like, Peter Parker, you know, as Spider-Man, was freaking awesome again. Yes. And he's like, you know, it's like, remember we were talking, and then we went to dust, and all of a sudden we were back, and then Doctor Strange are there, and into that spinny, like, sparkly thing, you know, like, and then Tony hugs him.
Yep.
And Tony hugs
like,
him
okay,
hard.
This is the thing we're doing now.
Yeah. And then I love later on when Captain Marvel shows up, and she's like, I'm Carol, I'm Peter Parker. Let me have that kid. Okay, you know, like,
because he's like all curled up in the fetal position.
Yes,
we also got to see him get his iron spider suit destroyed.
Yes,
which will explain why he goes back to the regular one because Tony's not there to make another one for him.
And what was the thing he says? Like kill everything defense or something like that.
Oh yeah,
it's come out, you know, and protects him.
Yep.
I got. No, I don't. No, I don't. You know. We also got to see the nod to the new, I can't think of the title of the book, but it's the new all-female hero comic.
Yes.
You get that little nod in the movie when they had all the female characters. And
It was a nice moment. I felt like, A, Carol really didn't need the backup.
No, no.
But it was cool to see, you know, that they were acknowledging the fact. They're like, look, we've got a lot of badass females in the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
Here they are. Seeing Valkyrie rip apart one of those worms.
Yep.
Like,
Nothing.
Tony couldn't do it.
And she was on her unicorn.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And she's going to be the leader of the Asgardians now. That's cool.
Yep.
Hopefully Thor's going to get back in shape.
Dude, I love it. It's the Asgardians of the galaxy. And then the battle between Quill and Thor over who's the leader.
That scene simultaneously went on for too long and was absolutely perfect. Like at the end when they said executive producers and they listed James Gunn, I'm like, he was brought in for that scene right there.
Most likely.
And he probably wrote that scene and was like, this is how it's going to be set up. So now Guardians 3, the search for Gamora, 4 is going to be part of the Guardians.
Be there? I mean, like, I hope so. I think that's awesome.
Yep.
So Black Widow's dead. We haven't talked about that at all.
See, again, this bothers me.
Yeah.
And one of the things that bothers me about it, aside from the whole, why do you keep having to kill people to bring the Soul Stone back over and over again, is why is it two times in a row that we've killed a woman?
Well, she sacrificed herself.
She did sacrifice herself.
Blake tried to sacrifice himself, but she wouldn't let him.
And I get that, like, he has a family or he's trying to get his family back. But also, he became an asshole.
Yeah, and that's...
He murdered a lot of people.
All bad guys, but...
They were bad guys, but, like, half of the world's population was dead. Yeah. And he's like, I need to murder more.
So Vision's gone.
Yes.
Vision never came back.
Which is too bad.
Yeah.
I really like Paul Bettany.
We saw Loki in the past, but we don't know if Loki's back or gone, or if that was
it. And once again, he has a TV series coming to Disney Plus. So.
And the WandaVision series, which we've been told is going to take place before Infinity Wars.
Okay.
It's about their romance.
Okay.
And then now that Sam's Captain America, how is the Sam and Bucky series going to be?
Right. Are these all going to take place before Endgame, do you think?
I don't know. But this is who's dead.
Disney said that, just to finish that off,
yeah.
Disney said that they're not going to reveal the next lineup of Marvel movies until after Far From Home. Once Far From Home is out in theaters, then they're going to... Because, you know, we usually have like 2 or 3 years worth that's lined up.
And that was weird that we didn't have a mid-credit scene or a post-credit scene or anything at all. Nope. The credits were amazing, the way they did the credits, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Especially when they did, you know, all the original Avengers.
With the autographs and all that stuff,
And then to go out on the hammer pounding.
Yes. You know,
from Tony putting his arm together for the first time.
Yeah.
Brilliant. People were like, what's being forged? What's it going to... No, guys, that's from Iron Man.
It's from Iron Man.
It's literally lifted right from there. So.
But we have Vision's gone.
Yes.
Black Widow's gone.
Yes.
Tony's gone.
Yep.
Captain America's old and retired.
Yep. Although in the comics they brought him back. Cosmic Cube.
Yep. That's four significant characters. Well, three significant characters in Vision.
Yep. We don't know if Hulk is crippled.
Yes.
He's got his arm in a sling, and he's pretty charred. I mean, Thanos was charred from his use of the Infinity Stones.
Right.
Twice. So, you know, Hulk maybe...
Oh, Thanos. I didn't count out all the bad guys that are dead.
Right.
And then now Thor is part of the Guardians of the Galaxy, possibly.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see him in Guardians 3.
You know what they need, honestly? They need James Gunn and Taika Waititi to work together. Because Taika Waititi, what he did for Thor Ragnarok...
Dude, Thor Ragnarok is, I think, one of my favorite is my favorite Marvel movie.
It's so good. And if they could get the two of them together, I mean, having Korg there on the couch...
That was awesome.
Thor, he's calling me a bad name again. The 10-year-old is back on the headset. He's calling me a bad name.
I like that they got him to come back. Was it just you, me, or did Asgard seem very Aquaman village-like?
Yes. Yeah. And it was actually filmed in Scotland.
Oh, that's funny. But I don't know. I loved the movie.
I loved the movie. It was so much, and it was so good. I have problems with it, but you know what? It is what it is. Yeah.
When Pepper Potts and her daughter, and they put that thing in the water, and it says, proof that Tony Stark has a heart.
Yeah, I choked up.
I did too. And then they start panning back to everybody there. I got very emotional then.
Oh, yeah.
Not openly sobbing like the guy in the row back a couple scenes earlier, but I got emotional there, and you see everybody.
When Pepper showed up in her armor, I got a little emotional because I'm like,
awesome.
You know, because she... Like, everybody else was coming back from being snapped, or like Carol, you know, they were, and she was living with her daughter, safe, knowing that, and for her to show up like that, that was pretty awesome.
That was very, very, very cool.
Yeah.
They pan back, you see everybody, and then you see the Guardians and Nebula's with them, and I'm just like, I don't know how she's alive, but it's cool that she's still with them. Yeah.
This was... an amazing, like, it, I don't want to say it lived up to the hype, because I, much like advertising, I don't think this movie needed hype.
Nope.
This movie lived up to the expectation, I think. I think that this movie was exactly what it needed to be. They really could have cleaned up the time travel aspect of it a lot.
Yeah.
But now they've kind of given themselves a clean slate moving forward, because it's 5 years later. Some people are back. Some people have been existing all along. They're going to be able to talk about this. I don't know. I love this movie. I really feel like they did this for the fans.
Oh,
they did this for the people who have been following them on this journey. Yes. This was their love letter to say, you know, thanks for the past 10 years.
Oh, 22 films together. And I thought they did a good job of giving everybody a nod. It was really, really,
and
really, really good.
Again, my favorite part of it is Professor Hulk. I loved so much of this movie, but the fact that they got Professor Hulk in there was just brilliant. And they had been saying all along that they couldn't do a standalone Hulk movie because it's so hard to do it because of the diversity of the character, you know, and what do you focus on, Bruce versus the Hulk, blah, blah, blah. I think that if they went in this direction, they could do another Hulk movie standalone as Professor Hulk, and they could introduce, you know, the general there, at General Ross, as the Red Hulk. I think that they could do a lot with this moving forward. So that's my thought. Mike's reading something very intense.
I actually am. Yeah.
That's why he hasn't been commenting.
I'm agreeing with you, though, wholeheartedly.
Yeah, you're not.
I was just sorry. That was one thing you just brought up. Like, we didn't see Ross.
Yeah.
We didn't see him in the movie at all. That's actually a character. As soon as you said his name, I'm like, oh, we haven't seen him.
Thunderbolt Ross.
Yep. We got to see Stan Lee's last filmed Marvel appearance.
Which was brilliant.
It was awesome.
It was very Stan Lee. Yep. You know, 1970, driving past the military base. Make love, not war. And the bumper sticker, what did it say? It was, crap. It wasn't Excelsior. It was the, I'm blanking it.
And I'm blanking, yeah.
So. Anyway, it was another one of his sayings that he liked.
So one thing I was just kind of reading is that Brie Larson filmed her scenes for this movie before they filmed Captain Marvel.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And that the director and everybody for Captain Marvel was there on set, you know, to make sure it followed with the story they were telling.
Which would explain why, from a production standpoint, why they fridged her. Because basically they said, we only want you in these ones, then we'll get to working on your movie.
Yeah.
But I still didn't approve of that, but whatever.
Yeah, it says Larson filmed her scenes for Endgame before beginning work on her solo film Captain Marvel, which was released first to introduce the character to audiences. Captain Marvel directors Anna Borden and Ryan Fleck were present for the filming of the scenes in Endgame and gave Danvers characterizations in the film their blessing.
I felt that Scott Lang was simultaneously the most quintessentially important character in this movie.
Yeah.
Because he introduced them to the quantum realm. He showed them how the Pym particles could work on this. You know, without him, they never would have had this plan. But also, he was almost like relegated to comic relief in a lot of spots.
Yes.
Which, he does comic relief very well.
Yes.
But we didn't get a lot of Ant-Man fighting. We didn't get a lot of Ant-Man, you know, doing action scenes and such. This was mostly about the Avengers.
No, this was definitely about the Avengers.
I did like seeing him come up as Giant Man and...
Yes.
No, because he's like, I'm coming down, hold on, just wait for me. And then he just like, boom, lifted the whole building up.
And they kind of teased this. I remember there was an old comic book cover of like Hulk holding up the world or some shit and trying to prevent everyone from being crushed. And they kind of did it in this movie as well.
Yep.
So that was kind of like a good little nod to that. Yeah.
I thought for sure Rhodey and Rocket were going to get crushed.
Yes.
I thought they were, you know, one of them was going to be gone. And then when the water swept down there and it was flooding them out, I was like, oh, shit, we're going to lose at least one of them.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
It was a great film.
It really was.
It was definitely, I understand you're going to have people that are going to rip it apart.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we have kind of issues, like, you have issues with the earlier timeline stuff. My biggest timeline issue is with Cap.
Mm-hmm. Which I do have issues with as well. So.
But at the same time, I love the movie.
Yes.
I thought the movie was fantastic as a whole.
Yep.
And I'm probably going to end up seeing it again in the theaters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm excited to see what else Marvel's going to do.
Yes.
I haven't been disappointed by Marvel. Well, Dark World and Iron Man 3 are both kind of meh. Yeah. But anyways, I have... And as far as Black Panther...
I still love Black Panther.
I know. I know. It's just... I think the timing of when it came out, it was like, this is redundant. We've already seen that he's in Infinity War.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Like, we've already, like, if it would have came out before we saw him in Infinity War, oh, okay.
Right.
It would have made sense.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like how Captain Marvel came out. like, we know, okay, we saw, like, at the end of Infinity War, we saw she was paged.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get the movie, which was awesome, and then we get the little tie-in in the credits, and then now we see her in Endgame, but...
Yeah.
But at no time did you, like... At no time in the movie did I think, oh, she's going to die or something bad's going to happen. She's Captain Marvel. Whereas in Black Panther, they try, oh, he lost his crown. And, oh, he might die. And, oh, look, he got his crown back. Like, I was like, come on.
Yeah.
That was my problem with it.
Gotcha.
But whatever. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to shit on it. So, anyways, that's it.
That was a great movie.
Oh, it was a fantastic film. It was, it lived up to the hype and was not disappointing as a whole. Which, after 10 years and 22 films, that's pretty substantial to say.
Yep.
Now, are the Russo brothers done?
They're done with that movie. I'm sure that they are not done. Did you realize that one of them was the guy talking in Cap's therapy group?
Oh, no.
Yep.
The gay
guy? I
want
to say Joe. Yeah, the one who went out on a date with the guy. I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I know this guy.
Okay,
and then I'm like,
funny.
Oh, it's either Joe or Anthony, but yeah, it's one of the Russos.
No, but do you think the...
Oh, I think they'll be back for something else.
They'll do more of the Marvel movies?
Okay, so think about this. We know for a fact there's going to be another Far From Home.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is coming out, and that's coming out in a few months, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, July.
Yeah. So we've got that to look forward to. After that airs...
Nothing.
We're going to find out what their slate is.
It's weird that they don't even have anything in production right now.
Or do they?
Well, that's true. They could be filming something the whole time and we don't know it.
So we've got Far From Home. Then we're going to find out their slate.
Yeah.
They've got Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is definitely coming.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that we've heard about that, it's definitely coming. there's going to be another Captain Marvel movie. There's going to be another Doctor Strange movie. There's going to be another Black Panther. We've already heard that those are all coming. We haven't seen solid dates. We haven't seen production.
We know there's going to be another Captain Marvel movie.
I said that.
You did?
Yep.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear. Okay.
Yep. Captain Marvel, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Black Panther. Okay. Yep.
We don't know anything about another Thor one, but if he's with the Guardians, then that explains that.
Yep.
We've heard about the standalone series. We've heard about a possible Black Widow movie.
Yep.
You know what we really need? Well, we don't need, but you know what's going to be interesting is who's going to be the next villain.
Oh, we've heard that there's another movie. Chung-Li? No, that's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Shang-Li? Something like that. There's an Asian movie coming.
Yes. Basically a superhero Bruce Lee type.
Yeah. So.
But when we first started this journey, you know, Iron Man was just Iron Man.
Yeah.
And they kind of alluded to the Seven Rings. And we thought, or 10 Rings. And we thought Mandarin was going to be the big villain. And, you know, but then they started interlacing little bits about the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the Infinity Stones are coming. Oh. And then they introduced Thanos kind of in a PS. And you're like, oh. Even though when we look back, we know that Thanos is the one who sent the Chitauri in the first Avengers movie. So. That was our villain for this 10-year drive. So who's next? You know, obviously there are some front runners. Now that they have...
Do you think they do another Avengers movie?
Yeah, but it'll be different Avengers. Because I think that the Avengers are kind of a tentpole thing.
Yeah.
You know, this is the team of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We've got the Guardians.
Yeah.
But the Avengers is the team that... unites heroes that have their own individual movies. Like, there's not a Peter Quill movie and a Drax movie.
Right.
There's the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Correct.
But there's a Thor, there's a Hulk, and then they come together as the Avengers. So I think that you'll see more of the Avengers. I think it's going to take them a little while to integrate the mutants and the X-Men and stuff like that.
Oh, that's the other thing, too. Like, now that they have all those rights, I wonder if that really changed everything they planned.
That could be why they're holding off.
Because are they going to do a new Fantastic Four movie?
I really hope so.
I hope so, too.
And... that would also be a good way to introduce Galactus and Doctor Doom, which are two of the big names that could be front runners for the next world-spanning villain.
Do you think the new season of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to have anything to do?
Not at all. Nope. I think that S.H.I.E.L.D. is just going to be its own self-contained thing from here on out.
S.H.I.E.L.D. should have finished with the last season before we even started the season.
Yet. Absolutely. Yep. But I think that now, because I think that when they first started off, they wanted to bring superheroes to the screen.
Yeah.
I don't think that they started with Iron Man and said, let's build a legacy around Iron Man, and let's create a universe where we can have the Avengers stuff. I think that they were surprised by the success, and that's why they move forward with the other projects.
Yeah.
I think that now that they know what they've got, we're going to see more of a building towards a new villain earlier on in this next phase.
Well, I don't know. They haven't treated us wrong so far, so I'm not going to worry about it too much.
Except Dark World.
Except Dark World. But I am excited about Ragnarok so much,
man. Oh, Ragnarok is so good.
Yeah, the more I think about it, like, for the longest time, I loved the first Captain America movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Winter Soldier was awesome.
Yep.
And then Civil War was basically Avengers.
Yep.
That was excellent as well. And it's like, well, but then Ragnarok came along. And the combination of brilliance in that movie, from visual to soundtrack to script to, I mean, just the whole thing.
They had humor, you know, where it was, oh, he's a friend from work.
Yeah.
And, you know, Loki, look. And he's like, I don't know this guy. You know, they had humor in that. But then they also had, like, you know, touching moments, like Odin looking at him and saying, what are you, Thor, God of hammers?
Yeah.
No, you're God of thunder. Use it. It was just, it was amazing. I would like to see more of that. That's why I said I would love to see James Gunn bring Taika Waititi on as a producer of Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yeah.
I think if they did that, I would lose my mind because because I believe they actually offered it to Taika Waititi, and he was like, no, I'm not taking over somebody else's. You know, James Gunn was passionate about this. I'm not taking over. And good on him for that. But
I'm glad they got James Gunn back. As a
producer.
Yeah. I'm glad they got James Gunn back.
I am too. Yep.
All right. That's it.
Yep. Yeah, so you're going to have to leave for work soon.
I got to go to work. Like, normally I'd leave 6 minutes ago, so.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And I shared something on Twitter you should go check out. It's a British wrestling thing where on Friday night there's matches in England, and this guy's got a guy in an arm lock, or he's got him in an arm bar, and he goes, I know, I've seen Endgame. Listen to this. And then he whispers, like, spoilers in the guy's ear. And the guy's, like, reacting to it. And he's calling him a wanker. And then the fans are going, no! It was pretty damn funny.
It was funny, yep.
So, that's it.
Bye, everybody. Talk to you next week.